Okay, so we're up to.
Kent's two grandchildren, they don't say hi to me. They say, where are you holding in Villion?
That's very good. I'm happy. They're also looking forward to the team. Okay, what we're holding here now is we had a kasha, we had a brisa, and the brisa had multiple cases, and each of those cases were kedushi, were klolim, meaning he said be'elu, he said bazu, right? And the brisa differentiated if he ate, if he didn't eat, if he ate it, then the last one, like Rav Ami learned the Mishnah. The brisa did not talk about a case where a guy made separate acts of kedusha. So Akash is on Rav and Shmuel. When it got to the Mishnah back on Memvav and Aleph, they understood Hoisei Chelos is going on separate acts of kedusha, and the Chiddush is that even though he's eating it and having a lot of pleasure, it still not needs to be worth a pruta. In this brisa, they can't say it because the brisa has no case of individual acts of kedusha. The brisa is talking about big acts of kedusha, either behelu or bazu, but it's not talking about individual acts of kedusha. Therefore, the Gemara has a problem. How by Rav and Shmuel having to look at this brisa and learn like Rav Ami, so why didn't they learn the Mishnah that way? If you learn that way here, you should learn that way there, and you have to learn this way here because your case of iskachi doesn't exist in the brisa. That's where we left off yesterday with this question. So we're up to Hamani, which is the last narrow line. And the Gemara is going to say now the following answer, that the Brisa itself brought two different opinions, even though we haven't noticed it till now. Back on Memvav and Aleph, we mentioned that not everybody agrees to Reb Shimon that you have to say hiskachi each time to make it individual acts. There's a mandiyama that says, that you say bazu, ubazu, that's also considered individual acts. What? We didn't. We mentioned it we mentioned it a number of blot ago, that there is different opinions in what is a klal and what is a prat. It was on our test, in fact. We had it on Memdal and Amad Aleph. We mentioned it there. It's a Gemara in Shavuos. It's not a Gemara here. But the Gemara, Rashi, I think, brought down the different opinions. Right? The Gemara might have brought down the different opinions. On Memdal and Amad Aleph.
He said it's kachi first or last.
First. There's a Machlokes there, too.
We had
Memdal and Amad Aleph. So now what the Gemara is going to answer is that this brisa has a different mandi amai that interrupts in the middle, even though we didn't see him. Meaning, what it said in the brisa, going back to the brisa and towards the top of the page, it said, "Bazu bazu bazu, imyesh b'kulam shavet pruta b'kadesh lab eina b'kadeshes." Now we understood that that's the same case as bazu, bazu, bazu. The Gemara is answering that that's a different case. That is a different Tana. This is a Tana that says that when you say bazu, v'ayd bazu, v'ayd bazu, you mean different acts of kedushin. So this is your different acts of kedushin. We understood this is the same case as bazu, bazu, bazu. It's one act of kedusha. The difference is he eats it. But now the Gemara is answering Hamani Rebihi. That part of the brisa that says bazu, naplasa, vachlasa, bazu, naplasa, vachlasa, va'oid bazu, is going like Rebbe, who holds their different acts of kedusha, not like Reb Shimon. It's a machloikas in the brisa. And the brisa didn't mention that we're switching tanoim, but that's how Rav and Shmuel will learn the brisa. So there is a case in the brisa of individual acts of kedushin. The case of bazu naplasa vachlasa va'oid bazu, that is different acts of kedushin. Therefore, as long as one is worth a pruta, she's mukadashis. Like Rav and Shmuel learned the Mishnah. Amani Rebbe, damar loishnok zayis k'zayis, loishnok zayis uk'zayis, whether you say bazu bazu or bazu ubazu, pratahavi. They're different acts of kedushin. Rashi. Zakt Rashi, hochi gosin and hamani rebihi. Zama loishnok zayis, loishnok zayis, pratahavi. Dr. Rashi, the Hach Sefer, the Ktani Bezu, the Klosser, the Achlosser, the Oid Bezu, the Oid Bezu, Tana Achwinohu. This is a new Tana. It's not the same Tana that just said the line before. The Lav Hainu Tana Dereisha Metziyasa. This is not the Tana of the first case of the Elu and of the middle case of Bezu, Bezu, Bezu. The Sfirle Karebi, this Tana, it's a new Tana. Even though the Braisa makes no mention that we've just switched opinions, but the Braisa is switching opinions. The Sfirle Karebi, the Tana Achelis, was in the Menechus. It doesn't make a difference if she ate it or left it. It's each individual case of Kedushin. V'chelis itzuchelei, lashmi'inan, like Rav Ishmael said earlier, da'avagav demekar v'hanayasa, even though she's having immediate pleasure, v'mekatsu v'pachs v'shavar bruta. That's why lo'achitana bezu bezu trey zimni. Now Rashi points out why we're allowed to do this. How do we switch a Tana? No mention in the Braisa that you're switching the Tana. All of a sudden, bam, we switch a Tana. So Rashi, we look at the Braisa, I have a dig that way. Because the Braisa said, bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. You look at all of them. Then the Braisa should have just said, neklasa vechlasai. The Braisa repeats the case. Bazoo, neklasa vechlasai. Bazoo, neklasa vechlasai. Why did the Braisa repeat the case? That's what we're talking about. Bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. If it has to do with Mekdeshes, neklasa vechlasai. Why did the Braisa have to say again? Bazoo, neklasa vechlasai. Bazoo, neklasa vechlasai. It's the same case. Why repeat bazoo, bazoo, vayid bazoo? Well, you tell him bazoo, bazoo, trey zimni. You have an aklasa vechlasa, vayid bazoo, vayid bazoo. But tell him, yes, ma'akas, ma'kulam, shavar, puta, ma'kudashas, shum the sphere lay, skacha, kochadakoi. This one, the Amish Rebbe, who holds that it's different acts of Kedushin. Skacha, bazoo, skacha, bazoo. It's as if he said, skacha, bazoo, skacha, bazoo. Vayid bazoo, skacha. Vahak, the Rebbe, bazoachim. Now, we're going to get to that in a minute. Let's just understand the answer the Gemara gave. The Gemara's answer, according to Rav Ishmael, is that we missed part of the Braisa. You assumed that the Braisa was talking about cases of Elu and Zubazubazu. That's what you were assuming. And therefore, you said the Braisa is only talking about one act of Kedushin, either of Elu or Zubazubazu. And therefore, the question was, the plus of Achlosai doesn't fit according to Rav Ishmael. Our answer is, there's another Tana in this Raisa. The Bazoo Neklasa Vechlosai is a new Tana speaking. And he used each Bazoo as a separate act of Kedushin, Rebbe. And therefore, since he views every Bazoo as a separate act of Kedushin, he's like the Raisa of the Mishnah of them love. It's like his Kachi. Therefore, one of them has to be worth a Bruta. And the Chiddush is, even though she's eating it, and she has immediate pleasure, you still need a bruta. So therefore the answer is, yes, there is a case of individual acts in Kedushin. You didn't notice it, but there's another Tana here that is the Braisa is switching to and views bazoo as three acts of Kedushin, not like the line before it that viewed it as one act of Kedushin. That's the answer. Now, Rashi takes you out of the Kedushin.
But what was the answer? How do you switch without saying it?
Repeating the case is switching. Why did we repeat bazoo? We just said bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. All it had to say is neplasa vechlasai. Why did the Mishnah did? Why did it have to say again bazoo neplasa vechlasai? Bazoo neplasa vechlasai. Vayid bazoo, vayid bazoo. Why mention that? It says we're new Mandiyama now. That's how Rav and Shmuel will learn the Braisa. Now I agree to you, if I would have said the Teretz, not the Gemara, you would have rejected it right out. The Braisa doesn't mention that we're switching on the Amen. But this is Rav and Shmuel's answer, and therefore it works. Rebbe does not hold like Reb Shimon. He doesn't have to say his Kachi by each one. He holds, even if you say Bazoo, Bazoo, it's two separate acts.
Oh.
I don't know, but he doesn't hold like Reb Shimon.
He uses that far that they don't combine. He says they don't combine.
He holds a different act. It's like he said it's Kachi by each one. Rabbi's of the opinion that Bazoo Ubazoo or Bazoo Bazoo is like he said it's Kachi by each one. Now, where did Rabbi say this? He didn't say it in Masechta's Kedushin. He didn't even say it in Masechta's Shavuos. So where did we come up with Rabbi's name? Where's Rabbi from? So Trashi, perhaps the Rebbe Bezvachim Beperik Beis. This is a Gemara in Zvachim in the second Perik. Now, the halacha is as follows. The halacha is as follows. I'm going to try to do this and give an introduction. It's really off Kedushin totally, but it's Torah, and I want to give the introduction. When a person does one of the four avodas, and we'll say shechita, we'll use shechita as an example, but it can happen by shechita, it can happen by kabbalah, it can happen by halacha, it can happen by zrika. There are four avodas karbanas that are necessary in every karban: shechting it, catching the blood, bringing the blood towards the mizbeach, and putting the blood on the mizbeach. During those four avodas, a kayan can make an animal to pickle. If he thinks improper thoughts, we will explain in a moment what they are, the animal becomes pickle. Now, in pickle, there are two kinds of pickles. One is with one kind of thought, and it might be words, it's machlokes v'shaina, whether he can think it or he has to say it. And one is a second kind, and that is as follows. We'll pick shechita because it's easier to work with. A guy shechts a carbon chatas, which is supposed to be eaten for one day and one night. And while he shechts it, he thinks, I'm going to eat this tomorrow, which is past the time of achilas chatas. His machshava, or dibur, at the time of shechita, was to do something wrong, to eat this carbon beyond the time that one is allowed to eat it. He had in mind chutz l'zmanai. He was going to do the achilas hakarbon out of its time. The halacha is, the animal becomes pigle, and if one eats the animal even in the proper time, it's chayv karas, because the animal is pigle. Pigle is karas. If he had in mind chutz l'zmanai, he had in mind that he was going to shecht it out of time, even if he didn't decide to eat it out of time. But the very fact that during the shechita he had in mind, and I say in mind, it's a machlokes v'shaina whether he can have it in mind or he has to speak it out, that he's going to eat the chatas past its time, the animal becomes pigle, and if he eats it, even during the time, it's chayv karas. That's the einish for eating pigle. The same thing is true by shlamim. It can be eaten by 2 days or one night. And he has in mind, while shechita he can eat it 3 days, past the time, this animal becomes pigle, and if one eats it, they're chayiv karas. That's one type of pigle. The other type is not called pigle in the Gemara, but it is generically called pigle, and that is, a chatas has to be eaten in the azara. And while he shechts the chatas, he has in mind that he's going to eat it outside of the azara. Not out of its time, but out of its place. The animal becomes pasul, but there's no karas if one eats it. So there's two levels of pigle. One is chutz l'zmanai, and one is chutz l'mkaymai. If it's machshava, and again I use the word machshava because the Gemara uses the word machshava, but many Rishayim learn it needs to be deeper. If his machshava is to eat it past its time, the animal becomes a higher level of pigle, meaning if one eats it, even during the time, chayv karas. If he has in mind to eat it out of place, the carbon becomes pasul, but if one eats it, one is not chayiv karas. That's the halacha, the basic halacha of pigle. Now, the question over there is, what happens if he had in mind, to eat both, to do both? During shechita, he thought to himself, I'll eat exayas past the time, and I'll eat exayas out of place. Is that considered one machshava, or is there two separate machshavas? If it's two separate machshavas, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you only go with the first one. If it's one machshava, he thought both. He thought he was going to eat gzayas l'machar, which is out of time, gzayas b'chutz, which is out of place. Is that one? If it's one, it's a mixture, and there's no karas. If it's two separate ones, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is you go by the first one. The first one was l'machar, so there is karas. So Rebbe says, when he thinks zayas l'machar, zayas b'chutz, it's two separate ones. Even though he didn't separate them, he He just thought, Kzayis Lamacher, Kzayis Bechutz. That's considered two separate machshavas. And according to Yehuda, if somebody ate it, he would get karis. But if we look only at the first one, he doesn't view it as one mixture. He views it as separate machshavas. This is Rebbe saying that even though there's nothing separating them except Kzayis, Kzayis, that's like zoo and zoo, and that's considered two separate ones. This is where Rebbe said that even if he doesn't use a verb of his kachi in middle, he doesn't say, I am shechting twice. He just said, I am shechting Kzayis Lamachar, Kzayis Machutz. It's viewed as two. This is Rebbe Shita that you don't need to put his kachi in. The very fact you say bazoo bazoo or bazoo bazoo is enough to make them separate. He says it by pickle because we want to know when the guy shechted and had in mind Kzayis Lamachar, Kzayis Machutz, is that one big one, which is a mixture, or is it two separate ones? And Rebbe says it's two separate ones. It's a raya that Rebbe holds that you separate just by saying Kzayis Lamachar, Kzayis Machutz. That's like bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. Let's read the Rashi. Look to Rashi. Notice Rashi says thinks. B'mshchitas hazevach. Bein sheshokar amanas lechuk zayis lamachuk zayis bachutz. Bein sharmak zayis lamachuk ukzayis bachutz. Whether he said kzayis kzayis or kzayis ukzayis, havelu shtei makshavas. Rebbe considers them two separate things, even though he did not say, I'm shechting for this, I'm shechting for this. He did not put a verb in between. He didn't say hiskachi, hiskachi. He just said bazoo, bazoo. Rabbi Yehuda does, a basar rishon, Rabbi Yehuda that says you go by the first one, havi pigul v'chayav mavkaris. That's where Rebbe told us that it's separate even without a verb in between. Yes, Rabbi Kohn.
Where do we have that if it's a mixture, would it be karis?
Gemara and Zvach. The Mishnah Zvachim. We're not learning Zvachim now. The Mishnah Zvachim says if you mix two makshavas together, there's no karas. It's only if one is distinct. Now, the Rabbanon hold, even if you have one after the other, the very fact that you had both, there's no karas. But Rebbe Yehuda holds, you always go by the first one. But that's only if they're separate makshavas. Rebbe is saying that without a verb in between, it's separate makshavas.
How could it be one makshavas? Two different makshavas.
Wait a minute, he has one makshava to do two things. I'm thinking to go to Davin and open my sitter. It's not two makshavas. You can look at it as one way, one thing. Now, if I say, I'm thinking to go to Davin, I'm thinking to go open my sitter. So you separated the two. How about if you say, I'm thinking to go to Davin and open my sitter?
If you don't have an and? You mean a verb.
Even with an and or without an and? No, the verb would be I'm thinking. The analogous case by Kedushin, Hiskachi, Hiskachi. By Machshava would be Hareini Sheikhet, Amanat. I am shechting with this thought. I am shechting with this thought. But if he said, I'm shechting with this thought, it's two, do you look at it as separate or together? So not every Tana agrees. There are Tana that says that's together.
If you say thinking each time, then you is separate for sure?
If you say thinking, I am shechting, that separates them. If you, in your mind, first think, I'm shechting chutzlus manai, then say, I'm shechting also chutzlum kaimai. That's two separate makshavas.
You say, I'm thinking twice.
Yeah, if thinking works, you're saying.
Right.
That's a verb. That's like iskachi, iskachi. Or shua, shua. That's what Rebbe told us. You don't need the verb. The fact that you separated them by saying chutzlum zmanai, chutzlum kaimai, is two separate ones. Take it over here, bazoo, bazoo, or bazoo, ubazoo, Rebbe says it's two separate kedushins. To make it one, you would have to say be'elu. That's Rebbe's opinion. Those who argue on Rebbe say, no, you need iskachi, iskachi. So the Braisa switched Mandi Amram. The Rashi is just trying to teach me where Rebbe came from. But if you look at Masech Teshuvos, he's not there, which is where we brought it till now. Where did Rebbe come from? So Rashi says Rebbe came from Zvachim. Start the Gemara right. Okay, now I want to introduce the next sugya. We've been talking about a number of times in this Masechta about the concept of Mekadesh Bemilva. If you want to be Mekadesh a lady with a debt that she owes you. We never talked much about the debt. The debt is a debt. She owes you the money. There's no money that you own. You don't own any money. She owes you the money. So you're not giving her anything. If you do Hanas Mechilas Milva, that works. But the Milva doesn't work. That's what we said. We've repeated it a number of times. The Gemara now is going to get involved in the following thing. Reuven lent this lady $1,000. She hasn't touched $1,000 yet. It's still sitting in her wallet, in her pocketbook. And now he walks over and he says, I'd like to mekadesh you with that $1,000. On one hand, it's her $1,000. He lent it to her. She can go spend it wherever she wants.
Novelates off that way.
On the other hand, maybe, this is the way Rashi learns it so good, maybe when you lend a when a person borrows money, they have to keep it in something concrete that the lender, quote unquote, is like he owns part of that thing. Like she buys a table. So therefore, he now, his money is part of that table. It's not that she just owes him the money. It's as if he has a chelik in the table. Now, once she spent it and she used it for groceries and she it's gone, it's gone. The question is, it's still here. Do we say it's totally hers at her discretion? She can use it for wherever she wants. And therefore, it's not, he has no shaykhus to the $1,000 anymore. All it is a debt. Or do we say there are restrictions on what a person's supposed to use their borrowed money from unless they otherwise specify? And those restrictions are, it has to go into something that's not going anywhere. It can't go for groceries. It has to go for a car, for a table, for something that the lender can say, I have part of that. And therefore, he is giving her something by saying, you use it for Kedushin. Now she has no restrictions. That's going to be a discussion in this Gemara. At least at the beginning, then the Gemara will have a different discussion, but let's start with the beginning. Amarav. HaMekadesh B'milva Eina Mekudeshes. If somebody's Mekadesh with a loan, Zakrashi. I'm sorry, Eina Mekudeshes, Zakrashi, Afili Yeshneben. Even if she did not spend a penny, it's here. He lent her $1,000. She still has the $1,000 in her pocketbook. But it's hers. Milva Leitzonitna. She can spend it for whatever she wants. Therefore, he has no ownership, no connection to that $1,000. The $1,000 is her, and she has a debt. But he has no bilis, no connection that he has any right in that $1,000. Ben, even if it's here. And Ben. Ben means it's here. Lloyd saw it. No, so trashy. I tell you what, if we do one more Rashi, it might answer your questions. So the Gemara says, Nova Leitzanit, Zotrashi, Haloiva Rishad Latia, Baitza, he can spend it. The Aina Chayav Lamida Beiska, he doesn't have to invest it in a business, Shite Mitsuya Becholeshi Trena. He doesn't have to put it somewhere where the lender can always get it back because it's invested in something concrete that he can say, this table is partially mine and therefore I'm taking it. Kivin Loitza Nitma, have a lucky dida. It's totally hers. And he has no control over it at all. So he's not giving her anything. She has the $1,000 already. Whereas if you hold Milva Lavloitza Nitna, that doesn't mean you can't spend a loan. Why are you borrowing the money? You have to put it into something that's concrete, that he always has a place that he can look at and say, there is my money. And therefore, he does have a connection to that money, so he is giving her something. That's going to be the Shaila. Rav holds Milva Leitza Nitna means when you borrow money, there are no restrictions.
But,
none at all. Yes.
There is a star that says on it that she owes you the money, right?
So either there is or there isn't, but it doesn't make a difference, yes.
Practically, you would have a document that says that money is owed, right? So that He has a tefisa on that shtar, doesn't he?
Shtar is a piece of paper.
But he has something to that's going to fall back on the shine pan. I can go right into the, see the shtar.
And then again, there's a big difference. If she is limited in what she can use the money for, she has to use it for an object that my money went to, and I have a right to that object. Because, or at least I think I have a right to that object, because my money went to that object. You're talking about a general shibud that happens by every debt. Here we're talking about a specific item that was bought with that money. My money went into that. And I have a right to that based on the fact that my money went into that. If you hold milva lavoit saw it means, she's restricted in how she spends the money. She cannot spend the money on lottery tickets or on groceries because there's nothing I can look to. She has to spend it on something, Rashi calls it an iska, an investment. Something that I can say my money is invested. Now, again, you're not the boss of that money and you don't have a right to go take it without me, but you have a shaychus to it because it's your money that's there with a restriction. The restriction gives you a certain ownership of it, which by giving it there for Kedushin releases that.
Yeah, but
so you are giving her something.
By the time this bond comes, and she doesn't pay, it's done with the Achrayas, he can go and take something that she has.
But again, that's a way of collecting a debt. But there's nothing that's his.
We don't see that
everything that she owns,
I heard your question. I can even repeat it if you want me to. I understand it clearly, and I'm trying to show you the difference. If there's no restriction in how she uses the money, now it's a question of collecting a debt. You don't own anything. You have a right of collection. You have no restriction on anything of hers. You have a right of collection. There's no restriction on her properties. You have a right to collect. That's what a shibud is, a right to collect. Here, if you hold milva lavoi tzonitnam, the loan comes with a restriction. It's a restricted loan. You restricted it. That's like an ownership in the thing, the fact that you're restricting her usage. Therefore, by giving it to Kedushin, you're releasing that restriction. You're giving her something. It's only when it's here. If it's gone, you have nothing.
Real estate, that's banned still, right? She's invested. Things that are banned?
Mashmanat. Only when the money is here, so it has restricted use. So that restricted use gives you a little bit of an ownership. Once you bought something, you have no. It's just a question of collecting a debt.
Kind of sure with that land.
No, it's not your land at all. Nobody ever says it's your money. If you have a restriction, she has a restriction based on you. That restriction is what you're giving her. You're releasing the restriction. But that restriction is only while it's money. Once it's not money, your restriction is gone.
So she spends it.
To a certain extent. I mean, he has no right to tell her what to spend it on, but she has to buy the understanding in a loan, according to the Man D'Amar that argues on Rav, is that loans have restricted usage unless otherwise specified. And that restriction is something you have that you're giving up when you use it for Kedushin.
She said, I'm going to buy a house. Once
she buys it? Once she buys the house, you have nothing. But as long as the money wasn't spent, you had a restriction over the money. Once you bought the house, it's her house.
Why loan is on Nidnor? She puts in the Iska ready for you at all times.
Yes. Once she put it in an Iska, it's her thing. What he gained by the restriction was that he knows that he can always go, at least he thinks, that he can always go and take it from there. It's not his. That restriction gave him a feeling of, I'll have a security.
Once she buys the table,
Once he buys the table, it's hers. Just easier for him to collect, because he knows where his money went. not his. But that restriction in how she spends makes it that while the money is here, he has some kind of restriction over it. And by releasing it, he's giving her kedushin. Now, Rav argues. Rav says, no, there are no restrictions on loans unless you specify them. A regular loan has no restriction. She can spend it on lottery tickets. It's her business. She'll owe you the money. Now they say, what's more foolish than buying a lottery ticket? Buying two.
Not buying one.
Why, that's foolish, not buying one? Right. Dr. Gemara, name a ketanoi. Let us say that's a machlokes tanoi. Is milva loitzo nitna or not? Meaning, in a regular loan, with no specifications, are there restrictions on the use of the money of a loan? Kadesh b'milva, eina mukadeshes, v'yeshloi b'mukadeshes. My love, welcome b'milvigi. What are they arguing about? How could anybody say that Mekadesh b'milva is mukadeshes? The money is not yours. My love, welcome b'milvigi. The mar savar, the milva loitzanitna. One holds the milva is spent without restrictions. Mar savar milva loitzanitna. And the other one says, that there are no restrictions. That's what the Gemara thinks. Zok the Gemara, Petisbara, how could you understand it that way? Ema Seifa. Says, a Shavim B'mecher, she's a Kana. By a sale of land, this milva works. Yeah, I'm at milva loitzonit, no. If you hold it, the man the it says Eina Mukadeshes, it's because there are no restrictions. I'm sorry, Mukadeshes, right? So the Maikani, so why does it work by land?
By land,
here? By land, both Tanoim agree that if you you buy the land with a loan, it works. Now again, no, this case of buying land.
Right.
The Machloikis is by Kedushin, but by buying land, they both agree it works. Now, if you learn that a woman has... Let me step back. My mistake. I assume people understood me. A guy buys land, he has to pay for it. The money is the kinyan. You have to give the seller money in order to own the land. What if the seller owes you $1,000 and you say, I want to use the debt to buy the land? So, l'chaira, it's the same as kedushin. You're trying to acquire something, but you didn't give him anything. But the Braisa here says that even the mandamah that says it doesn't work by kedushin is allowing it to work by land. And the problem is, if you hold that there are no restrictions on a loan, why is land different than kedushin? The way we understood the machloikas, that by kedushin there's an argument, but the money is still here, do you have a right of restriction on it or not? That's a machloikas. That's great. But then let's go to land where the bride just said everybody agrees it works. If you hold there's no restriction, why is land any different than kedushin?
When does the transfer occur of the land?
When you pay.
Pay.
You have to pay money to own the land.
He didn't pay. He just was making a loan. What made the transaction?
That's the kasha. If milva loitza, what made the transaction? That's exactly the Gemara's problem.
There is no...
Zuck the Gemara v'tizbara. Eime seifa, v'shavim b'mecher shezekana. I'mit milva loitza nitna. If you hold that loans are non-restricted, then my kani, what did you give the guy? Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said, hun l'chavrit. By the way, this is a kash on the bride set itself anyway. No matter which way you learn the machloek is by kedushin, you're going to have a question, why is land different? But the way we wanted to interpret it is also shver. You wanted to make a machloek is when the loans have restrictions, so then why in the world by field does it work? Amar Rav Nachman, hu nechavrin mukila b'mili uchra. Hu nechavrin learned that the case in that brisa of Iskachili by, where is it? Hamakadesh b'milva v'yesh ayman mukadeshes. is not a regular loan. That's not what the Braise is talking about. And therefore has no bearing at all on milva lo yitzah nitna or milva lav lo yitzah nitna. What is the case? The case is talking about, I'll speak of that outside, we'll do it inside. Guy walks over to a woman and says, I want to be mekadesh you with a mana, with $100. And he hands her 99. Is she mekadeshes or not? Now, truth is, she should be mekadeshes, because he didn't say, I'm going to give it to you now. But the question is, if he would give her one, then she would ask for the other 99. But he gave her 99. Will she come to him and say, you still owe me one? Or she says, he cheated me. He promised me 100, he gave me 99. I can't go over and ask him for a dollar. It's embarrassing. That's the machlokes. If somebody mekadesh was 100 and hands her 99, is she mekadeshes or not? One man the Emor says, she'll ask for the other one. She's being mekadeshes with 100, she'll ask for the other one. She's willing to become mekadeshes, realizing she'll have to ask for the other one. The other man the Emor says she won't ask. And therefore she never agreed to the Kedusha for 99. By Mecher, nobody's embarrassed. You'll go to the guy and say, excuse me, you still owe me a dollar. By your husband, you don't go and say, hey, you promised me 100, I only got 99. You're embarrassed. By a sale, business is business. That's why it works.
She's Michael that dollar?
No.
It's not Michael.
Not Michael. She wants it, but she's embarrassed to ask for it.
So how does it work?
According to one man, I'm not sure ask for it.
They're calling the other man, since she won't ask for it, it doesn't sound good.
Right. That's the Gemara. Who nechavrin mukulav and muli achrei? V'hakamai is getting a shomer leiskachli b'manav and nimtza manu chas for dinner. Marsav eksivul and milsul lemitzvah. She's embarrassed to ask for it. Umaksav like sivul and milsul lemitzvah. She's not embarrassed to ask for it. And therefore,
that's
what the brides meant by the milva. Again, would I have said that pshat? You would have said no. The Gemara says that pshat. In fact, Rav Huna is the one that said it. Rav Nachman says, my friend Huna said this pshat. Rashi. Look to Rashi. B'shavim b'mecher, mokal l'karka sh'nikna b'kesef. He sold them land that's acquired with money. Imamar l'milvash yeshli alecha yelech v'shul ha'mecher v'nisrat z'lo. He agreed. Kana l'keyachim yeshneben. He's kind of, if the money is still around. This is not a debt. He said, I'll pay you later. He promised her 100, gave her 99, and said, you'll get the other one later. Is she ever going to ask for it? She doesn't rely on his promise. Now, in fact, the Gemara, we had back on Daf Tches. His kachli b'manav and us for dinner as a mukadeshes v'yashlim. There it says, he said, I'll give you 100, and he gave her one. We trust him to give her the rest, and she's mukadeshes. So for 99. Let us say that it depends on this machlokes tanoim. Does she rely that he'll pay or not? No woman is embarrassed to ask her husband for $99. He promised her 100, he gave her one. Excuse me, hubby, I need 99. If he gave you 99 and he owes you one, it's embarrassing to come and beg for the dollar. That's the difference. In the case of her blazer, he gave her one. When he gives her one, she'll get the rest. So she's willing to become a Kodeshus. She relies on the fact that she's going to bug him and he's going to give her the 99. But she's not going to bother him for the one. And therefore, she's not a Kodeshus according to one month. So, Drashi, Sivula Milsa, the Dover Muatu, Dinner Mimena, Bimana. It's a hundredth. It's 1%. Their blazer, like kibla mikol amana ella dinner, like sifilei mosa the mitzvah amana. She's not embarrassed because that's a lot of money. There's nothing embarrassing in collecting what somebody owes you. It's only when your husband owes you a dollar and you're making a big to-do over the dollar, it's embarrassing for the woman.
So it's embarrassing.
So she doesn't count on the fact that he'll pay her and she's not Mukadeshus.
No one speaks about
Mechila
at all?
Sure, not the 90.
She wants the money.
The dollar she wants?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't hear both things. Why would she want
this? So you would go on into the new system that other people can answer questions.
But I agree with that. Why would a dollar she keep? First of all, to start off a marriage already is fighting before they even start. It begins. And we said, I also said, well, they don't speak lies. This is a mistake. What happened over here?
He said to her, I'll give you 100 for Kedushin. He counted, he only had 99. He said, I'll give you one later. Now he forgets. She has to bother him. Will she bother him for once? She wanted 100 for Kedushin.
Maybe it works with my Freya if he gave it to her?
It does. If she relies on the fact that she'll get it. If she doesn't think he's going to get it, then she never agreed to the Kedushin. By the way, in those days, Kedushin was a year before Nisuin. It wasn't that they had a chuppah and they went home together. They did Kedusha and then they went on their separate ways. So is she Mukadeshes or not? Not like they went to Chuppah. Once you go to Chuppah, it's a different story. You don't consummate a marriage that's on a t'nai. But that's how we say. There was no here, they did Kedusha. They'll meet again in a year. So the question is, did she agree or didn't she agree? It's a money thing. It's monetary. I don't know. People write prenups today. They're getting married. They're already worried about what's going to happen when they
that's
get divorced. But that's what happens today, too. That's what Ksuba is, too, to a certain extent. Talk to Gemara about it. Let me get Hanoi Amelishmaitza. Oh, we did already. Don't think about Mesve. We're going to ask Akash on Rav. Again, it boils down to the fact this is not this is not the Milvaloitza that we've been talking about in the Homa Sechta when the money was spent already and it's just a debt. That's not the discussion here. The discussion here is that there's a loan that's still be'en. She hasn't spent it yet. Does he have a right and restrictions over it? Then he's giving her something. If he doesn't have restrictions, then he's not giving her. And Rob said, loans come, no strings attached. That's what Rob said. That is not so simple that everybody agrees. So to Gemara, Maitzvi, I'll show you not that way. Guy says to the woman, remember yesterday, I gave you $100 to watch for me. Not alone. Pekatan. She goes and she finds that it was stolen or lost in a way that she's not obligated to pay. It makes no difference. But it's not here. If the Shtaya meant a Shavar Bruta Mekadeshes, Mabein Mekadeshes. Because we say, when he said Iskachli Pekatan, he means any part of the Pekatan. If he meant the whole Pekatan, not here. But we're talking about it, he still owns, whatever there's there belongs to him. And he's giving it to her. So he's giving her something. He's giving her whatever is left of the begotten. Ubemilva, listen to this. Ava bishloinishtai menoshavaputa, ugodashis. By a milva, even if it's all spent, it's megodashis. Now that is against everything we've been saying in the Sechtus Kedushin. So Rashi, great Rashi, says that Pshat in this Mandi Amar is what everybody was screaming at me last week. Why isn't every Mekadesh Memova mean Hanos Mechilas Mova? Remember we talked about this last week. A Mekadesh you with the debt, he means with Hanos and Amaychot. That's what this Mandi Amar holds. afilu loy nishtayim mukadeshes, bahi hano demachol agaba. So Rashi says this man the Yamar is introducing that when you tell a woman keep the debt, you don't mean to be mekadesh with the money, you mean to be mekadesh with the pleasure that you are meichel the debt. It's an automatically understood, which yes, last week I said is not true, because that's what everybody else holds, but this man the Yamar holds, it is true. He holds, if mekadesh b'milv, even if it's gone to debt, you're being meichel it. You're giving her the mechila, and that works. That was what everybody was screaming at me last week. I'm sorry, not screaming at me, tiny at me and learning. Chas v'shalom screaming at me.
Wants to marry her, right?
Yes, he does.
Okay, so the tzad says it's not mechila. What's it mean then?
Again, he's saying I'm mekadesh with the money that you have for me.
He never gave her anything. That's the problem.
She had it already for a year. She had it ready for a week. It's not his money. He's not giving her anything.
So, Mashain came.
If he says, with the pleasure I am giving you now, by forgiving the debt, that is giving her a current thing that she didn't have before.
It's
called pleasure.
It's what?
Called pleasure.
The question is, does it happen automatically or not?
Exactly. So, till now, we assume not. In fact, that's what everybody holds. Except this man, the Amar. This man, the Amar, agrees to what everybody was telling me last week. Chatzim Shalom didn't scream at me. We were telling me last week.
Why?
100%. That's the first man, the Amar, yes.
Question then was, if it's automatically a gift, do they combine when she's a chalice?
What?
It's hers.
Right? I'm sorry?
Our case earlier was where he was giving her less than a shava prusa at a time, but it's not here be'en to be mitzdar with one another.
They're giving her now the hanos mechilas milva.
So if I give her a less than a shava prusa of hanos mechilas milva, it combines with another.
No, there's no less. I know it's a weird. If a lady owes you, excuse me. A lady owes you $25. And you say, I want to be mekadesh with the hanor that I'm forgiving the $25. Why is that brachas mishaber pruta? It's worth a lot more. So what brachas mishaber pruta do you have by mechila? Yeah. What are you talking about?
The case earlier we had where we cut it into a milva.
Right.
What was the issue there?
You didn't give her anything. Even this man, I would agree, you're only being mechila less than a pruta. That's nothing. It's not hanor of a pruta.
So if one of the dates were a shaber pruta,
so then you're Michael that.
And that is a shabbat.
If you hold that, it's an automatic. But I said nobody learns that way except this man, the Amar. And the rest of the shir. And the rest of the shir last week.
It's all wrong.
Okay. Good logic. Okay. If Shimon was, or I'm Shimon Meir, Milvari keep a cutting. No. If there's some money left that she didn't spend, she's Mukadashas. If she spent it all, she's not Mukadeshes. But everybody seems to agree that if there's money left, she's Mukadeshes, even though you gave it to her as a loan. Which is not like Rav. We'll continue with Shem tomorrow.